The Youth's Instructor, November 18, 1897. By Many Infallible Proofs. The Youth's Instructor, November 18, 1897. By Many Infallible Proofs. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We have great reason to praise God that we have the inspired record that is given us in the book of Acts, a narrative of the works of the apostles. We have the sure word of inspiration respecting the foundation of the Christian church. The Acts of the Apostles is full of instruction and light and knowledge. As Christ's disciples living down in the last days, in the very close of earth's history, we have the same work to do to prepare for Christ's second coming as they had in developing the Christian church. How grateful we should be for the record that the early disciples have given concerning the resurrection of a crucified Savior. He was among them, and confirmed the words he had spoken to them before his great humiliation, suffering, and death. With what intense interest would they listen to his teachings as he appeared among them, a Savior risen from the dead? They knew of a certainty that he was the Messiah, their living Redeemer. The words he had spoken before his suffering, in regard to the scenes of his humiliation, his trial, and death, were words whose meaning they had not comprehended. They could not credit the fact that Peter would deny him, that Judas would betray him, that he would be rejected, scourged, and crucified. But everything that he had told them had been fulfilled, and they looked upon their risen Savior with intense love and gratitude. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. He had said to them before his death, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Christ remained with his disciples to reason with them, to explain to them prophecies concerning himself, to leave no chance for temptation to skepticism. When he had first revealed himself to them after his resurrection, they had been amazed and could not believe that he was their risen Savior. It seemed to them too good to be true. Their hopes and their faith they had buried in Joseph's new tomb with their dead Savior. And what was their surprise, their astonishment, when he arose to meet with them as the Scripture had said. When Jesus arose from the dead, he brought with him from their graves a multitude of captives. Thus was shown his triumph over the prince of this world. The prince of this world had had no power to take his life from him. He had laid it down as a voluntary sacrifice in man's behalf. He had not been compelled to this course of action. He had said, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. when he broke the fetters of the tomb and came forth from the grave, he proclaimed his triumph above the rent sepulcher of Joseph, exclaiming, "I am the resurrection and the life." This was as a death knell resounding through the regions of Satan. The Prince of Life passed from the tomb, leading forth a multitude of captives, triumphing over the powers of hell, and making manifest to the inhabitants of unfallen worlds that he had passed through the last act in the drama of suffering in the great controversy between him and the satanic agencies. He brought life and immortality to light and made a bright, clear pathway from earth to heaven, that those who receive him should follow where he leads the way. Christ came to earth to be the sin-bearer, to suffer for man's transgression, not to save men in their sins, but as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Those that he led from the grave were as jewels gathered from the earth. Before they ascended to heaven, they went into Jerusalem and appeared unto many, and declared that Christ had risen from the dead, and that they were risen with him. The sacred fact of the resurrection was attested by many infallible proofs. Before he ascended on high, he said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God's message was not confined to any certain locality of the earth, nor was it to be given by a certain class of workers. As the Spirit of the Lord should move upon human agents, they were to respond, "Here am I, send me." The message was to be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end should come. The Lord is coming with power and great glory, and what will he say of the church to which he has given great light and precious privileges, but who have hidden their talents in the earth? Oh, that those who are crowding together in cities and towns would not be content simply to receive, but would give the bread of life to hungry souls. The people of God should carefully study the words of Christ concerning these last days. Why is it that the people of God do not read and understand the specifications concerning the dangers that will surely come? Why is it that they rush on blindfolded, receiving messages that are not true? With prophetic eye, Christ looked down the stream of time to the very end of earth's history and marked out with prophetic pencil the very things that would take place in these last days. He lifted the danger signal and declared, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go not forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chambers,' believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come."